Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another episode of Not in a Creepy Way, the podcast where the brothers Anderson will dig deep into the movies. The brothers Anderson are. This is Eric, he's the oldest one. The producer who makes it fun, gotta give him the credit. He's good with the edits. He's been the driving force since they begun. Next we got brother Jay. He just the movies that they play. The sip in the middle, Jay is gonna be a little more critical, analytical when he communicates. And lastly we got Drew, the finally family member of this group. He decides if the movie's worth it. Right kind of guy, that's for certain. Three chatty brothers with a family base. Need an excuse to talk away. Dichotomy of personalities. All you really need to do is press play. One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you want to catch an episode. They talk movies till they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's the brothers Anderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open to that case. We got Eric, Drew, and brother Jay. Welcome you two, not in a creepy way.
Hey. Welcome, this is Eric.
This is brother Jay.
This is Drew.
And tonight we're going to talk about the second movie in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, The Incredible Hulk from 2008, directed by Louis Leterrier. Director of The Transporters 1 and 2, and the most recent Dark Crystal TV series.
Yeah, man. That thing was good.
So, Drew, this is on your list, being all things Marvel.
Sure.
When did you first see this movie, and did you like it when you saw it?
I saw it in the theater. I was really excited about it after Iron Man, and I thought it was fine.
And on rewatch?
The CGI is rough. And the story is heavily edited, I think. Again, it's fine. There's some stuff in it I like quite a bit. I love William Hurt. But yeah, I mean, this is definitely one of the more forgettable Marvel movies. Not the most forgettable, but one of them.
Okay. Brother Jay, when was the first time you saw this movie, and what did you think?
About 3 hours ago.
Oh, excellent. Did Jesse watch it with you?
No.
Damn it! That kid keeps going to work.
I take it back. He came home from work halfway through it, and agreed with me that it looked like hot garbage, and he left the room. So, he's the smarter of the two of he and I, so.
So, weren't impressed?
Yeah, this movie had some problems.
Okay.
Indeed.
Yeah, me too. I thought the same thing. Frankly, I thought on paper they did everything right. They did all the fan service and the nods to the TV series and the nods to the comics. But it was fairly charmless.
It was over the top in its referential treatments. I get it. After the fourth green item, I get it. You're putting green things in there. I understand. That's as subtle as a pair of scissors. I get it. And then the other little inside jokes. It's like it. You're overreaching. You could have put all that effort into actual plot, and you would have improved the story, I hope.
This is one of those movies that was, I think it was just butchered after it was shot.
Quite probably.
I think they cut more than 60 minutes from it.
Well, so it's been duned.
Yeah. Then Edward Norton was famously difficult to work with on it.
Really. Oh, I've got notes about that.
Yeah. I had some problems with this. I wanted to like it. Because, you know, Iron Man was good, right? So I thought it was a good lead-in. But this was just not great. And the CGI did not hold up. And so it was by the end of the movie, it was so ridiculously cartoonish that I don't know what to say about it.
I think the big takeaway from this movie and I think the rest of the movies that the Hulk appears in is it's almost impossible to do a Hulk standalone movie. Because if to get a true like comic book type foil for the Hulk, it stretches any sort of credibility that you might have for trying to make a live action movie. It's sort of like the Superman problem. How do you have a compelling foil to someone who is indestructible and with unlimited strength? The real conflict that was interesting in the comic books was the conflict between the Hulk and Bruce Banner. But that's much more nuanced than can probably be tackled in an action movie.
You know, this was Ed Norton's baby.
Well, the baby shit the bed.
And that, I think, is part of the problem. Because, I guess, Kevin Feige is one of the main producers of the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
I think he says Feige.
Oh, okay. Does he really?
I think so.
Okay. I feel very uncomfortable, like you're tricking me.
I am not.
Okay. Anyway, some of the movie was actually kind of fun. I mean, the fact that Lou Ferrigno had a little cameo and was the voice of the Hulk was fine. They bring Bill Bixby back from the dead by showing a clip from The Courtship of Eddie's Father.
Yep.
I thought actually the translation of "You wouldn't like me when I'm hungry" was kind of fun. You know, Stan Lee does his cameo as the guy who drinks the bloody soda. But so afterwards, when Mark Ruffalo replaced Ed Norton as the Hulk, or as Bruce Banner, rather, they asked the producers why. And the statement that was they gave was, "We have made the decision to not bring Ed Norton back to portray the title role of Bruce Banner in the Avengers. Our decision is definitely not one based on monetary factors, but instead rooted in the need for an actor who embodies the creativity and collaborative spirit of our other talented cast members."
So Ed Norton couldn't get along with anybody?
Well, here's the thing.
Also, is Ed Norton? I've seen him do really good in other roles, but this was poor. He wasn't good.
He was trying, but I think he's good. He's just, he wasn't great in this. But again, so here's what Ed Norton has to say, though. He said that he loved the Hulk comics. He believed they were very mythic, and what Chris Nolan had done with Batman was going down a path that aligned with, or that he aligned with, that Ed Norton did. The long, dark, and serious path. So if there was ever a thing that I thought had that in it, it was the Hulk. It's literally the Promethean myth. I laid out a two-film thing, the origin and then the idea of the Hulk as the conscious dreamer, the guy who can handle the trip. And they were like, "That's what we want." As it turns out, that's not what they wanted. But I had a great time doing it. I got on great with Kevin Feige or whatever. Feige. But he also acknowledged in an interview with New York Times that when he discussed his Hulk plans with Marvel Studios, he was not willing to dedicate the time they wanted from him to make the creative vision happen. And he also would have asked for more money than they're willing to offer him. Which, by the way, means he never got to ask them for the money he was going to.
Yeah.
So, in the end, Norton got to do all the things he wanted to do and seize the creative path that Kevin Feige and the MCU team... He seized the creative path that Kevin Feige and the MCU team went down as one of the best executions of a business plan in the history of the entertainment industry. Which is also not exactly praise. So he had the vision of a two-picture Hulk saga, but didn't want to commit.
That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, I know we're jumping ahead, but it sure seemed like they were potentially setting the Hulk up to maybe be the villain of the Avengers movie.
Yeah, maybe. Sure.
I mean, I thought the final shot of Ed Norton was... It was not triumphant as much as it was menacing, right?
Oh, yeah, definitely. No, he was maniacal, for sure. But I don't know enough about the comic book itself. The Hulk wasn't always... I mean, the Hulk really never was the good guy, right?
Well, I mean, it's been around for decades and decades. So he's gone through so many iterations. At first, it was truly like part werewolf, part Jekyll and Hyde. And then for a long time, it was just strictly Jekyll and Hyde. But there were iterations where Banner kept control when he turned into the Hulk. There were incarnations when there were actually a few different transformations with varying levels of intelligence and personas.
Wild.
Yeah, so there were certainly more than... There was more than one Hulk. There was a Gray Hulk. There was a super smart Hulk, and they are all slightly different personalities.
I think my criticism about the Hulk character, like the animation, I hated his face.
Yeah,
there's something wrong with it.
You mean in this movie?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, I'm looking at Drew's background, and he has a picture of Lou Ferrigno as the TV Hulk, and I realize that Lou Ferrigno as a TV Hulk is ridiculous. Again, it was all we had in the 70s, but it was really ridiculous.
They had like a, was it Sesame Street or Electric Company? They had a behind the scenes making of the Hulk package, and it showed how they put all the prosthetics on. And it seemed like they played that little clip like every few weeks. So when I was looking, I was fascinated by that, by how they transformed him into the Hulk and all the various stages of it. Just the practical makeup and practical prosthetics.
Yeah.
Very, very nostalgic feelings about that TV show.
Oh, yeah. No, and, you know, the TV show, you know, it had some heart to it.
It had heart, but it was not good. I've revisited it as an adult. It was not good.
Okay. Yeah. But again, it was all we had. Yes. And we liked it.
I still do.
I mean, again, it was in the same tier as the A-Team. The A-Team was never good. Sorry, the A-Team? The A-Team was never good, but it was what we had, and we liked it.
Yeah, and it's wild to me how formulaic TV was back in the late 70s and early 80s. It's like, essentially every episode was the same plot.
Yeah. Yep. I mean, that kind of, I don't know.
I mean, we had it later with, like, you know, like Law and Order, but.
I was just going to say Law and Order.
Yeah.
I was also going to say Murder, She Wrote.
Mm-hmm. All of those.
Simon and Simon.
Oh, yeah. I mean, all this, like, yeah, but. Hardcastle and Mrs. King.
Scarecrow.
Scarecrow. Hardcastle and McCormick. Yeah, sorry.
You know who really broke the mold, though, was Matt Houston.
Oh, my God. I loved Matt Houston.
Wild. So, anyway, yeah.
The TV show also had iconic music, which they brought back for this movie. I enjoyed that.
They did all the nods. Like I said, on paper, this probably looked great. But yeah, the fact that it turned into a big CG fest at the end is disappointing. And I think a lot of the talent was just wasted. And I have a question about one of the actors, but we'll get there right now. So, the plot. By the way, if you want to go to IMDb and look for the plot synopsis of The Booth, you will find that it doesn't have one. It's got, like, basically a two-sentence summary that is not satisfactory. And, of course, in IMDb, in The Booth, it gives you the actors' names, but none of the character names. So, it really is just dumb. I mean, there's no... No one was proud of the movie, apparently, enough to put it on IMDb.
Also, sometimes you don't enunciate fully clearly, and for about 3 minutes, I thought you said panty pool.
Oh, yeah.
And I was horrified. So.
Oh, no.
But I mean, then it's pretty much the same thing.
It's panty pool. Yes.
Yeah, no, I got it. I understood.
I'm not Stephen McCaddy. You know, I included his old clip in there because it's gorgeous. It doesn't make any sense, but it's gorgeous. So, if you look at the IMDb plot synopsis for The Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk.
The Incredible Hulk, 2008.
The not-so-incredible Hulk.
You will find it's like 20 pages. I mean, it is crazy long. So, I went for the Wikipedia version. I mean, it. Yeah, it's scene by scene with exclamations thrown in. I will send you there if you want to have just a fun read. Anyway, from Wait, Wikipedia.
While you're talking about the booth, you edited in squeaky sounds, right?
What do you mean?
You edited in sounds of like squeaky metal, creaking metal, right?
No.
They're there.
In like in you and I talking?
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. No, I didn't edit anything yet.
Oh, that's hilarious.
That's a lot of work.
Check out like 9 minutes and 38 seconds or so.
He's not very sentimental.
Maybe that's just like his move.
Perhaps, yes. And also, so at the end of this scene, after he has this conversation with a ghost with a contractual dispute. Maybe it was haunted.
Kind of like the extra minutes at the end.
Yeah, that was some strange stuff there. Okay, the plot.
Wait, another random question. No, it's not random. Another question before you get started. Is Liv Tyler a good actor?
I was going to ask that question. In this movie, no.
In any movie?
I have no evidence that she is. She's taking up space in this movie.
Well, so is Ed Norton.
He's at least doing stuff.
I was so distracted by William Hurt's mustache.
Yeah, he, you know, it was funny. I thought, damn, this is like William Hurt and Jeff Bridges are like the same person in Iron Man and the Hulk. One's taller.
Like one of those Warner Brothers cartoon cowboy characters. I can't remember his name. So
Yosemite Sam?
Probably.
It will be a running theme in these Marvel movies for a while that the bad guys suck.
Okay.
Bad guys are usually the least interesting thing about the movie. Which is not ideal for superhero movies.
Yeah.
But as far as Liv Tyler, I don't know. It's hard to tell. She's not awful.
No. No. But she's not good.
Well, when you say she's not good, what are you basing that on? What criterion do you say she's not good?
Okay, somebody told...
Complete lack of emotion?
Yeah, I was going to say, someone told Tim Roth to act out all of his acting bits in his eyes, in his attitude. And he did a heck of a job with that one thing.
And his sneer.
Yes, exactly. It's all face. It's all attitude. It's all in the eyes.
All I could see was Rosencrantz.
Sure.
Or Guildenstern.
All I saw was, Mr. Orange or whatever. But they did not give those directions to Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler is dead behind the eyes.
That wasn't ice.
That was not ice.
I've seen more warm and cuddly things for sale at the Pike Street Market.
Ouch.
Yeah, now if they substituted another actress for this role, I don't know. Again, maybe it was direction. Maybe if they had Alicia Silverstone instead, it would have been better. Oh, who knows?
No. Have either of you seen the Ang Lee Hulk?
I have not. I was going to ask you about that. How does that compare to this movie?
The special effects are even worse. Because it was 2003?
Yeah.
And it really leaned into being a visual comic book. Like, it had, not even, split screen, different panels on the screen at the same time during some transitions, like a comic book page.
Like what they do with Creepshow?
Yeah, sort of. But not as like a transition from one story to another, but like part of the action.
Interesting.
And it was a really different version of Bruce Banner. I think it was good. I liked it. The special effects nowadays kind of ruin the experience, but I mean, Nick Nolte was the bad guy.
Nick Nolte as like Thunderbolt Ross, or as the foe, action foe?
As the action foe. Nick Nolte as Zax.
Ah, yeah. I think they opened for Dokken on the 1985 Japan tour.
Probably.
I think we talked about this before, but, you know, Douglas Adams of Hitchhiker's Guide from the Galaxy fame, he had a vision of the perfect Hitchhiker's Guide movie. Because he never realized it. I mean, he said the movie, the BBC thing they did was, you know, the best they could do under the circumstances. He had seen some other adaptations that he's like, it's nothing really captures the spirit. What you need is to film it in IMAX, but to have like three or four different scenes playing at the same time in different parts of the screen. And maybe you'd make one slightly bigger, but the other stuff would still be going on. Now, I don't know what kind of experience that would be actually be like, but it seems like it would be busy.
Disorienting, I would say.
Yeah. Are we ready for the plot? Because you can interrupt me again. That's fine. I'm here for it. Woohoo! Make fun of Eric.
No, let's do it.
It's been a long week. In Culver University in Virginia, General Thaddeus Thunderbolt Ross, William Hurt, meets... Okay, so interrupting myself. What about the freaking cold open exposition equals title credit sequence? What did you think about that concept?
I was like the flashbacks to the origin?
Yeah.
I appreciated that they didn't make us sit through a Thomas and Martha Wayne style origin of the Hulk. Like everybody knows there was some sort of accident involving gamma radiation, you know, however you want to portray that. In the comic books, it was actually a nuclear bomb. In this movie, it was some sort of university laboratory experiment. But that's all you need to know. So I was perfectly happy that they just kind of skipped right past it.
Except they threw all that relationship nonsense in there, too.
They didn't really skip past it, though, because they had to sit through like 3.5 minutes of it.
Yeah, I found that disorienting.
Yeah, it was interminable.
Well, I was all wrapped up, ready to complain about getting scenes from the movie I was about to see in the opening credits, a la Mission Impossible, and I realized, no, this is needed exposition for the movie I'm about to see.
Backstory.
Yeah, which
it's not needed, though.
Clever?
None of it was needed.
It was unnecessary.
But it leapt you one step ahead in the story. So you get to meet...
Did it?
Well, you get to meet the Hulk in Brazil instead of in the lap.
Yeah.
And you get to not have to rely on Ed Norton and Liv Tyler to have any chemistry at all. You just assume it.
Yeah, because they have history.
Yeah. Because that part, I mean, I thought all the parts with her were unnecessary because they never went anywhere. I mean, it sort of amplified how bad General Ross was, because he was a bad father as well as a bad guy. And all we have to do is consult with our friend Jerry to determine that bad fathers are irredeemable. And we, of course, wouldn't know because we have the best father ever. Tip of the hat. Father Anderson.
Mad truth there.
So, anyway. So, we skip along ahead. So, we get all this backstory in the opening credits. And blah, 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 super soldier program, blah, blah, blah. Exposing to gamma rays causes the Bruce Banner to transform into the Hulk. The rules are established that whenever his heart rate rises above 200, he becomes a Hulk. The Hulk. The Hulk destroys the lab, gets out, blah, 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 Brazil. And
so, where did you get 200 from?
It says it in the plot synopsis in Wikipedia.
Okay. Because nowhere in the movie does it explain that.
It doesn't explain it, but it shows either the first or maybe the second time he changes, it's because he's looking at his watch, and as soon as it hits 200, he starts to change.
Mm-hmm. So whereas our eyes change colors because of a stroke happening, his eyes would be changing green because he's got the gamma going on. So, so he's on the run. He's a man on the run. So if we're familiar at all with the Hulk story, and especially the TV show, you'll know that that's kind of, you know, he's going to be a drifter out looking for a way. And actually, that's how we meet him in the Avengers, too, is just he's out in the middle of nowhere on purpose trying to solve his issue with becoming the Hulk and running from the government who wants their product back.
I haven't seen it yet, by the way.
That's okay. I mean, it's just the introduction to him. I won't go into much detail. It's fun. The Avengers is a fun movie. This is not a fun movie. I wanted it to be a fun movie.
I wanted to like it, having never seen it before.
Yeah.
Because I wanted to continue the momentum.
Yeah, whenever, you know, when I saw him when I saw him at the bottling, the bottling plant, mm-hmm. you know, instantly I was like, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, Shamil, Shlamazel, Haas and Pfeffer Incorporated.
See, all I saw was, oh, look, it's green soda.
Well, there's that, yeah. So there's that, and there's I thought there was going to be a much bigger love interest there, but I guess probably for the best, it wasn't.
Well, that's how he set up to use her later, right?
Well, yeah.
So to speak.
Yeah. But anyway... and of course we meet, I think maybe one of Ed Norton's, things was he just wanted to get really good at yoga so he could do that stomach trick. Cause he's trying to calm his emotions with doing, yoga and, capoeira or whatever the Brazilian fighting is.
Yep.
Chupacabra. Or maybe just like, jiu-jitsu, right? Brazilian jiu-jitsu.
Was that Yeah.
Anyway. I'm mixing fighting styles.
Some sort of martial arts.
Yeah. So we have the General Thunderbolt Ross coming after Bruce Banner to capture him and bring him back because they have made it into a weapon that they're going to use or recreate or whatever. Banner's
by the way, the instructor is credited as the Aikido instructor.
Oh, excellent.
Although the guy that plays him is a Gracie.
Ah, yeah, well, yeah, there you go. So, of the Gracie family of yes. Brazilian jiu-jitsu artists.
Mm-hmm.
Or, I don't know what you got. Are they artists? Are they, yeah, right? Martial artists?
They are martial artists.
Hey, if Subway employees can be sandwich artists, then fighters can be martial artists, right? Art is subjective. Anyway, so we have this whole scene in Brazil and he cuts his finger and blah, blah, blah. And then he is
cuts his finger and kills Stan Lee.
Yeah. Well, there's that in Milwaukee. Milwaukee, as Governor Cooper told us. So he is corresponding with a guy he calls Mr. Blue, and he is called Mr. Green. Now, I don't know whether that was also a nod to Reservoir Dogs or just not. Maybe because the Tim Roth connection is made me connecting dots that shouldn't be connected. But anyway, we find out that the general has added a new member to his team, the Special Forces veteran, again, sort of the MacGruber type guy.
Emil Blonsky.
Yes, played by Tim Roth.
WTF. From
Rosencrantz and Guildenstern Are Dead.
That's the best movie.
And Tim Roth, again, he was doing a thing. I hope he was told to do that thing.
Doesn't matter.
But anyway.
I enjoyed him on a very campy level. I thought he was very funny.
Yeah, but he was also fully committed.
Yes.
Yeah.
In a way that Liv Tyler was not. I'm just saying. Anyway, blah, 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 fight in Brazil. Tim Roth feels upset because they ended up fighting the Hulk instead of capturing one guy. And so he feels a little bitter about being tricked. And Ross says, well, you know what? I can tell you what's going on if you're willing to keep the secret and join the team. And so he talks about the super soldier serum, which is hard to say. I don't enunciate very well. Panty pool.
You know what that's about, right?
Captain America?
Yeah.
Yeah. Evidently, Captain America is actually shown in a block of ice in the beginning of this movie.
Really?
Yeah. It tells you online to pause it at a certain point. Well, I'm not going to. Like in the opening scenes or something.
All right.
Yeah. Anyway.
That seems worthless.
Yeah. So, well, again, putting a thing together. They had dreams at this point, right?
I'm not convinced they did.
Okay, well. Yeah, so and again,
dream killer.
This movie was what was left after they cut it down from what it was. Who knows what it was, right? Maybe all of Liv Tyler's really great acting was left on the cutting room floor. Also, I don't know about you guys. This is a little bit of a tangent, but, you know, when I think of something like, hey, whatever happened to Liv Tyler? She was in everything for a minute, and then she's nowhere. And I always think, oh, crap, did she get Harvey Weinstein'd? Like, is she another Ashley Judd or Mira Sorvino?
She definitely got Michael Bade.
Yeah, well, maybe. Okay. What was she in with Michael Bade? Oh, Armageddon. No, that wasn't Michael Bade, was it?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know. Anyway. So we basically have this, the general decides to, put some of the secret serum into Tim Roth's character. So we know this is going to be the final fight between two hulkish guys. Tim Roth's guy ends up turning into, the character, the Abomination.
Yeah. This is the subtlety of the entire movie. Mirrors the rest of its existence.
Yeah. And you know what? The other thing I didn't like about this is they don't explore. Like, there's a couple of scenes where when Liv Tyler figures out the Hulk is really Bruce, where she tries to get through to the Bruce inside the Hulk. And they don't.
The beauty can tame the beast.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and also they. Again, this is a long movie, but none of those scenes worked for me. They weren't cute or funny enough to be cute and funny, but they weren't touching enough to be touching. So they were just kind of like, we're dancing through the steps that have been painted on the floor. So anyway, so we have Bruce, by the way, so consulting with this guy online about trying to be cured. And then we've got General Ross trying to make Tim Roth infected. So we have these cross purposes, right? These different goals at each other. And they're still hunting Bruce. But Bruce ends up walking from Brazil to Virginia, presumably.
Well, no, he only walks from Guatemala. Guatemala takes him from Brazil to Guatemala.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And maybe he just, yeah, he ends up, anyway, so whatever. So he ends up meeting his university buddy, the old man who, of course, I thought was her father, but turns out wasn't her father. But the old man who owns the restaurant or whatever knows Liv Tyler. Liv Tyler's character has a new boyfriend. The new boyfriend is Ty Burrell.
Yeah. The character is Leonard Sampson.
Yes.
Who is a major character in the Hulk comic books.
Oh, really? Okay. Is he also a psychologist?
Yes. Yeah.
And is he Betty's boyfriend? Mm-hmm. Is there a Betty?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, he was Doc Sampson in the comic books. He eventually gets exposed to some gamma radiation.
Wait. Did he have a funny hat at one point?
He had green hair.
Ah, okay.
Long green hair, like, you know, like Samson.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, not but subtle. he was a psychiatrist. I think at one point he was trying to help reconcile the Banner is Hulk thing.
I just rewatched the first 3.5 minute opening of this movie, and I see no Captain America and block of ice. So
okay, all right,
calling shenanigans on that one.
Okay, we'll have to. Well, listeners, if you can find a time code,
you can call us on our hotline. Oh wait,
sorry, man. Nobody called the hotline. I had to call it every 6 months for like 2 years to make sure it didn't go away until I figured that was not really a worthy goal. Okay, so blah, blah, blah. There's no chemistry there. But she drops her new boyfriend and spends time with Bruce, which obviously the boyfriend's not real super happy about that. Times him out, apparently. Blah, blah, blah. On campus, they have a big fight. And that's where he gets his name, because of some kids on campus videotape it and put it online in 2008, version of online. And
I really enjoyed the Tim Rothiness of this fight.
I like the Mars Attacks version of like throwing all the armament at him. Like the sound cannons were kind of fun, sort of, when they started. The lengthy scene where he has to crawl away from the sound waves, blah, blah, blah.
The subtlety of the Norton Utilities pop-up on the computer.
Yeah, I saw that. It was funny.
I love Blonsky just like really feeling himself after having some of the super soldier serum. And then just getting crushed into a puddle with like one kick.
Yes. Yeah, I do like that. Yeah, I didn't realize, and I'm trying to think, I gotta remember back to what they've done later. I haven't seen enough of these things, but I didn't realize that the Hulk just basically looks for pieces of metal or machinery to use as shields or other like medieval weapons.
He's just a big green trebuchet.
I mean, maybe he does that in the comics too. I don't know.
I like how Drew has a green highlighter.
There was a really fun, I want to say mid-aughts PlayStation game, Hulk game, that had a lot of that in it.
Grabbing stuff and...
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, it
was my Marvel Universe Lego PC game. Huh. Did a lot of picking up and throwing stuff.
Well, yeah, but that
it also had better graphics than this movie.
To me, that's perfect for Lego. The whole joy of Lego is that everything's made of pieces.
Yeah, well, it's also perfect for video games when you can like level up your character, and now he can gain the ability to make boxing gloves out of vehicles.
Oh God. Okay, well.
Anyway. That's why some of this stuff appears in the movie.
Yeah, okay. Well, so maybe that's it. Maybe they were hampered by their fan service.
So they absolutely were.
So, yeah. So we do have the funny scene of Tim Roth facing off against the Hulk and getting cocky, saying, basically, is that all you got? And then he does the Hulk, literally just kicks him and turns hit. And he flies into a tree, into a puddle of goo.
Turns out that wasn't all he had.
Yeah. But because Blonsky has got the Hulk stuff in him, he managed to do a recovery, and then they put even more Hulk juice in him.
So bad.
Yeah.
And I think as the Marvel movies go on, they treat the Hulk progressively more and more as comedic relief, because he is such a ridiculously overpowered character that you cannot have him be serious.
When we get to the Thor movies, we'll talk about big dumb comic relief as the hero, maybe the title character.
Yes.
But I predict Jason will like at least the first Thor movie better than this movie.
So at the end of this big,
maybe siege, not the second one.
Yeah, no, I was gonna say definitely not.
So at the end of this giant big siege on campus, it just spontaneously bursts into this giant rainstorm.
Yeah.
What the hell? Why?
It had
the
to do with
Hulk
when Hulk
is so strong, he changes the weather.
Yeah, when he clapped, you know, it didn't just go out in front; it went up too. So, yes.
you're talking about. Okay.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Anyway, of course, behind, so Liv Tyler and Hulk slash Banner end up like going away from the campus and then hiding under a rock and whatever. They have their little cute scene or whatever. And you know what? If Ed Norton had played it more villainous, if he played Bruce Banner as a little more villainous, that would have helped too. Like if he was just kind of a jackass guy. I mean, maybe you can't have two Doctor Stranges, I suppose. But anyway. So, okay.
By the way, this is the Marvel movie with, I think, the most amount of sex.
Oh, yeah, maybe. Yes. Perhaps. We have this turn in the third act where Blonsky gets too much of the Hulk juice and becomes too powerful. And
you skipped over probably the best character in the whole movie.
Oh yeah, I'm sorry, Mr. Blue.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, played by Tim Blake Nelson.
Also skipped over him sleeping on green sheets in Betty's house.
Again, oh, there's that.
Subtle.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, Tim Blake Nelson always does a good job. I mean, I know, Jason, you loved him from Oh Brother, We're Out There.
He is such an enjoyable weirdo. And I'm actually bummed they didn't make a sequel to this movie just for him, because he certainly would have been the bad guy of the second movie.
Yeah, they totally set him up as the bad guy for the second movie.
Because he is probably the most prolific Hulk villain in the run of the comic books. The leader.
He's called the leader?
He's called the leader, yeah. And he had a couple different incarnations of his physical form, but the early ones, it was so dumb. He essentially, instead of becoming a brutish Hulk, he became super smart, and his head, like the top of his head, was actually like 2 feet tall, and he was green.
Oh my God, I have visions of it.
Yeah, you've seen him. And then later on, he got transformed into, didn't have the ridiculous five head, but he had like a giant, like brain shaped skull. But so it was always brains versus brawn.
Yeah.
And Tim Blake Nelson would have been wonderful.
Yeah.
As a creepy, weirdo, gamma irradiated smart guy.
So, yeah, so we have Dr. Samuel Stearns, who has developed this antidote to the Hulk thing or whatever. They inject him with it. Maybe he's cured. And then this is where Ross and actually Blonsky actually take him into custody. And Banner and Betty are taken away in a helicopter. But Blonsky stays behind and orders Stearns to inject him with Banner's blood because he's got the blood there. And then that's how he gets the big old super juice. And this is where Tim Blake Nelson's character also gets some blood on a cut on his forehead during the thing. But that's not what happens on the main action is out in Harlem where the Abomination is ripping up Harlem CG sets. So, they're seeing this from the helicopter, I guess, and they decide that the Hulk is the only one who can stop the Abomination. So Banner convinces Ross to release him, and he jumps from the helicopter, hoping that he'll turn into the Hulk, that he's not really cured.
Yeah, there's supposed to be some conflict here, because we are supposed to believe that it's possible he is no longer the Hulk.
But it is not possible. No,
it is not possible.
No, of course not. So then we have the Hulk Blonsky fight. Blah blah blah. We've got some fake chains and whatnot. And then Ross and his forces eventually arrest Blonsky. But Ross never becomes a good guy, right? Isn't he always still kind of the bad guy? Because Banner still has to run away. Yes, no, does it matter? Yeah, of course. Yeah, well, he runs to British Columbia, so...
I mean, Ross will be back.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Yeah, because all these guys will be back.
Mm-hmm. Betty won't.
Well, there we go. So, yeah, that's where we have sort of the sinister ending. And then we have the only pre-credit, post-credit scene in the Marvel Cinematic Universe.
It's so weird because this is the one that feels like the most shoehorned in and deserves to be at the end of the credits the most.
Yeah, totally. Because it actually makes it doesn't connect with the end scene at all. In fact, it lessens the impact of that last scene.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where Tony Stark approaches Ross and says, hey, let's put a team together. Or I'm putting a team together or something. The end.
Yeah.
So,
like, this movie did not offend me as much as it offended Jason.
It didn't offend me as much as it just I came away with it, and I could have watched it, and reading the synopsis would have given me as much as I got from watching the movie.
You could have watched it while playing a video game.
That's actually the best use of this movie is as background.
Yeah.
Because it's fine. You can pay attention every once in a while when there's a fun scene or some action or just something bizarre.
Yeah, Jesse said that if it were nothing but the fight scenes, it would be a fine movie.
Well, if it were nothing but the fight scenes, it could also just be a series of cut scenes in a video game.
Yep.
I mean, that's the problem. Or it could be levels of a video game, really.
Yeah.
So, yeah, this movie didn't offend me either. I just think I thought it was just bland. It was dry toast.
It was a lot of wasted opportunities.
Yeah. Now, did it make any money, Jason? Must have.
I think it actually made a decent amount, but I will check now. Not a pin.
Although, you know, I think they were at this point, you've correct me on my history, Drew, but they weren't really convinced, like, until the Avengers came along, they weren't really convinced they were going to pull this Marvel Cinematic Universe off, right?
I don't know. There's been a lot of revisionist history about how they had everything planned from the beginning, which I do not believe. I think maybe by the time they were putting Iron Man 2 together, they started to think that maybe it was possible because they had Thor in the works and then Captain America can follow that. Then it kind of had a path to the Avengers. And certainly after the Avengers was successful, they figured they could go all in on a whole cinematic universe. But I mean, if you look at if you truly go back and look at how this movie tries to fit in with the continuity later on, it makes no sense.
So budget of estimated $150 million. Opening weekend was $55 million. Gross USA, $134 million. Worldwide, $264 million.
That's not the hit that the Avengers was. Yeah,
it's not great numbers.
Well, and there's some...
It's like everything about this movie is fine.
Yeah, I mean, this is interesting rights issues with the Hulk anyway. It looks sort of like the Spider-Man thing. You know, Hulk was actually owned by Universal because of the TV show. So,
still is, I think.
Yeah, so Marvel still hasn't reacquired the Hulk or Spider-Man. Or the X-Men, right? Or have they actually reacquired the X-Men now?
They required the X-Men and Fantastic Four when they bought Fox.
Ah, okay. So all they got to do is buy Universal and Sony, and they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So then they'll be going before Congress to explain why they're not a monopoly.
Yeah, the rights are weird, because Marvel certainly has the rights to use the character, but I think Universal has the rights to release any standalone movie.
Ah, okay. So which is why
they just keep throwing the Hulk into other properties because they can, and then they can control everything.
Yeah. Well, which I think that's right. And, you know, when we get to like the Avengers, not all of the Avengers team needs their own movie. Like, I don't want to see the Hawkeye movie. I just don't like Jeremy Renner.
I would love the Hawkeye movie. There's a really fun kind of day in the life Hawkeye series, which is just kind of follows Hawkeye around like on his days off.
Was there a Hawkeye miniseries?
Like yeah, way back in the day.
Yeah, yep. like the Wolverine one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But that's not it. That's not what you're talking about.
No, this one was much more recent.
Interesting.
Yeah, okay. But like he's never in costume, but he still has to. Like I think like the entire first episode is he finds a, or he's rescuing a dog and like has to take it to the vet.
And does he use any of his Hawkeye powers?
I mean, a little bit.
Okay.
So, like he tries to get better service by using his cachet of being an Avenger.
Oh, okay.
But nobody believes he is because he's not in costume and just looks like a dude.
But he doesn't like have like on his desk that he writes his correspondence. He doesn't have like 16 different pencils with different special powers.
Correct.
Okay. So any more notes on the Hulk?
Let's see. Stan Lee's obligatory appearance. In no way is this green bit subtle. Oh God, the music. Stanley's pizza. Stanley, haha. Yes. Let's see what else. Really bad Hulk CGI. Green motel bathtub. Green Chevy. The obligatory hump it out scene, which got the heart rate cock block. So that was fun.
Purple pants.
Yeah.
I like the purple pants. That was fun.
How does his mass increase? Oh, yeah. Superhero shit. I forgot. And then the one thing that really got me that I actually paused the movie because I found that I was yelling at the television set. Why are the Hulk and Abomination running at each other? What does that accomplish?
They thought it looked cool.
Yeah, but as a fighting technique, what possibly could that bring to the advantage of a fight? Anyway, it's just one of those things. Ridiculously cartoonish. I did predict incorrectly that the copter was going to teeter-totter off the edge of the building. So at least I was surprised there. There was one part where the movie did surprise me. And then finally, at the close of the movie, the general is drinking something green.
Of course.
I would watch a Thunderbolt Ross movie, like one where there, it was just like some military movie. There was no superheroes in it.
Like he has to take a hill.
Yeah. I think they criminally underused William Hurt in this movie. Like, I think they got the most out of Tim Roth, but they underused William Hurt.
No, they hid him behind that giant mustache.
That is a Sam Elliott level mustache.
It is. It's impressive.
It's an Omega level mustache.
It was certainly impressive. But that was all my notes.
So your verdict?
I would give it a C. I didn't want to tear my eyes out, but I can't imagine watching this again. I mean, it's not a steamy pile like some of the other recent movies I've had to been putting through my brain. But, there's other movies I've got to watch or I'm willing to watch before I would ever consider this movie again. So, meh. I mean, if you're a completionist, I guess it's fine. It's tolerable. I'll be able to say that I got through all the movies in the series. So that's something.
By the way, what was the deal with the necklace? I missed the importance of the necklace.
They pawned the necklace so that they could afford things like his new fancy watch.
Oh, okay.
And the trip to go see Mr. Blue.
Ah.
And it was the only thing left from her mother.
Yeah, but it's not like her mother was an important character, right?
Well, to her, she was.
Couldn't you tell by how distraught she seemed?
I was going to say, she was a dead fish. Her mother had many, many eggs. I'm just saying.
What?
So, Drew, was it worth it?
I suppose. I mean, this movie's worth it if you have really low expectations, if you want to watch all the Marvel movies, if you're really down with the Hulk. But it's also perfectly acceptable to be doing your laundry while watching it, or looking at your phone a lot. It's fine.
Does this movie in any way, if you were to skip it, would you miss any of the rest of the series? Would there be anything that you wouldn't get as either an inside joke or some kind of story continuity or story arc if you just skip this?
No, there's like one Mark Ruffalo throwaway line in a later movie where he talks about how he's not very popular in Harlem. That's it. Okay.
By the way, apparently the Captain America thing was cut and it was available on some DVD extras.
I will say I did buy the Blu-ray of The Incredible Hulk.
For this? Because it's not on Disney Plus? Oh,
no, just... when it came out, I was like, you know what? That was kind of fun. And then, you know, when you buy the Blu-ray and you watch a high-quality transfer on a... You know, an HD TV at the time. And you...
Was it a little jarring?
I was like, oh man, this looks not great. A lot of the extras on it, I remember, they were fun for somebody who was just so excited that they were starting to make real movies about, you know, the comic books I used to enjoy.
Yeah. It must be that feeling of, like, when the Lord of the Rings movies came out. Lots of Tolkien fans were just ecstatic.
Yeah. And at least I had something to give Mom, since it
was
not on Disney Plus.
Yes, yes. Oh, yeah. She was looking forward to. She's studied up for this one.
I tried to manage your expectations.
Yeah, well, that's good. I expect she'll have watched the movie before she listens to the episode. I got her all set up with a bunch of movies on her iPad also, so she can catch up on one she's missed.
Like The Booth?
I did not put The Booth on that list, yeah. Yeah, I don't know. I still like the idea of The Booth. It's silly, but it's fun.
The Booth, like The Incredible Hulk, it was fine.
Yeah. I still can't figure out what that last song is. It sounds a little familiar, but it's also like the super formulaic kind of, like light metal stuff from that time.
Did you try Shazam?
I did not try Shazam. I tried listening real hard.
Shazam will do that for you.
Ah, well, yeah, so I agree with you guys. It was fine. It was good for, you know, we will become completionists like we did with Bond. I assume this is going to be considered a second tier Marvel Cinematic Universe movie.
Faux show.
Okay. But maybe not the worst.
This is not the worst.
Okay, excellent.
It's right. Not the worst.
This is not the worst.
Awesome. Oh dear.
Although I don't know. The one I have in mind as being the worst, I have never rewatched.
Okay, well, don't tell us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You should write it down in an envelope and seal it, though, and give it to Eric.
Eric knows.
Yeah, so. You'll remember it, right? I mean.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thanks. Yeah. Anyway.
It's universally regarded as the worst one.
Okay.
Like, I'm not going out on a limb.
Excellent. Okay, housekeeping. Happy to have all three of us back.
Yay.
We've all had interesting things happen, most of which we probably can't talk about. But, you know, we're also dealing with the pandemic, so there's that. Things are up and down for all those kind of reasons, too. Jason, we found out this week, between the time we talked to Drew last week and the time we're talking today, we found out that the entire first semester of school is going to be online for Anchorage School District kids.
What? Did they say first semester?
Yep.
Oh. Yeah. That's breaking news to me. Well, I found out tonight that our entire first quarter was going to be online.
Oh, I'm sorry. I meant quarter.
Oh.
Semester's okay, yeah. Two quarters, right? Yeah, sorry.
Yes.
Okay, I'm sorry. Anyway, yeah, the entire first quarter.
Yeah.
So, like what, through October, right?
Yeah, we had our school principal gave us a little Zoom meeting about what to expect. And I mean, they've put a lot of thought into how to do this more effectively than they did for the last quarter of last year when they didn't have any time to prepare, which is good. But yeah, just the whole thing, it made me like really like deeply sad. I mean, I'm happy that they put so much thought into it. I'm just sad for our children. I don't know. Just for some reason tonight, it really started to hit home that this is what their life is going to look like. I'm assuming for at least the next year, if not longer.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see.
So have you contemplated, I don't know how you're schooling them, and I'm not critiquing in any way that you're schooling them. I'm just wondering, from a kid perspective, are you making sure that there's a separate space where they're doing schoolwork so that they don't associate the house with school?
Not yet.
Yeah, I mean, not yet for us either. Although it's going to be much more regimented, at least that's the plan. Kelly's only taking one class, so she can make Journey get up. I told Journey every single day she's not going to miss any classes. She's not going to, you know, anything that is a time limit on it, she's going to be there on time. I don't care if she has to do it, in bed with the laptop on her top sheet. Don't matter. She's going to be doing schoolwork. And we're going to see results, because she really needs to. One thing Journey is not good at right now is math. And that's because they didn't really push her on it too much. She just selected all the other topics, you know, Montessori or whatever. So it's like, yeah, no, we got to get this stuff down, because turns out math is important.
Yeah, I mean, I assume it was similar for you. Like, anything after spring break was pretty much optional last year.
No, it was all. In fact, I was sort of freaking out because I thought, well, the only thing they're really taking is attendance, but they didn't even care really about that.
Nope. No. So, yeah, a lot of regression is happening.
But it'll be great. Oh, here's a fun story. So, I hadn't been getting a lot of sleep this week, but yesterday morning I woke up at like 3 o'clock in the morning and, you know, I looked at my iPod. And I'd gone to bed relatively early the night before after work. So, you know, it was fine. It was like, okay, if I get 2 more hours of sleep till my alarm goes off, great. If I don't, that's fine, whatever. So I get up to go to the bathroom and I'm like halfway to the bathroom and I hear Journey like, ah, bug, bug, bug. And she was still up, of course. And she saw, it was probably a good inch long, maybe a little bit longer, moth. It was flying around her room, and she was freaked. She's like, it was just like that thing that chased me in San Diego around the zoo. It was not quite that thing. That was the thing in San Diego Zoo had like hooks and barbs, and it was curved and stuff. This was just a moth. But it was pretty impressive, the size of the moth. So I had to go killing a bug.
Sorry, Mom.
And then, so I killed the moth, and I, disposed of its remains, but I made sure it was dead and made sure I offered her to look at the corpse, and she said no, she trusts me. And then I was like, well, fine. And it's like, she's not going to go back and sleep in her bed for the rest of the night. There's no way. So I'm like, just go to my bed, whatever, and I'll just stay up. And Kelly's like, you got to get some sleep. I'm like, no, oh, I'm done sleeping. I'm good. So I get up and I started, I think I was like, started like making eggs or something at, you know, 3:45 in the morning. And all of a sudden, Journey is popping her head around saying, you're making breakfast? Sure, grab a plate, you know, whatever. So She had a little breakfast and went back to sleep about 4:45. And I ate a leisurely breakfast and listened to some podcasts and went to work and relieved somebody a half an hour early, and they were delighted. Then nice. I got a text later from Kelly saying that Journey had woken up because she finally got to sleep, you know, so about noon or whatever. She's in bed and she wakes up from a nightmare talking about how it was as big as a softball. It was a spider she was dreaming of. Mm-hmm. So then she drew the spider later digitally, and it was pretty cool. So I appreciated that. So, yeah, luckily, so I'm already kind of wiped out this week, but certainly the lack of sleep isn't doing any good for me. Although I am glad to record today a little bit early, because that way I can just crash tomorrow. Welcome. Oh, any housekeeping for you guys?
So school isn't going to start here until at least November.
Oh, wow.
That's what the governor announced.
Are they going to do online stuff until then, or just nothing at all?
So they've been doing online stuff for some of the school districts here, but not all the school districts here are affluent enough to have online resources for their students. So
true.
Yeah. There's going to be some kind of, I'm not sure how it's going to work. And I don't have kids in school, so I'm only tangentially aware of it because I have employees who have childcare issues. So...
No, I mean, our kids, if we don't have enough technology, we will drop by the school before it starts and they will give you a tablet or whatever you need. So that's good. They've made those resources available.
Got through last week in our software conversion, and that went pretty well.
That is nice. Great to hear.
Yeah, it was as good as I had hoped and better than I had expected. So there were some hiccups, and we're going to have some growing pains with the new software, and just some things that we've leapt forward in technology 10 and a half years, which is good and bad. Like, we have all new equipment now. That's awesome. But the equipment is possibly a little more advanced than we're used to. So some of the people are having some anxiety over learning the software, and they're freaking out over they can't find anything and they hate it. It doesn't work.
Yeah, it's not exactly like the other system.
It works really well. It just isn't called what you're used to calling it. So it's there. Trust me. So I spent last... So I think it worked... let's see, 24, 36. I worked like 70 hours last week.
Ah, good for you.
And
are you Friday, off tomorrow?
I'm off tomorrow.
Good.
Yeah.
But last Friday, normally on my Fridays, I'm off at 2:30 because it's my short day.
Time to go to the dentist.
But I worked until 6 anyway because there was so much going on. And we had the vendor was there last week, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, but Friday everybody was solo. And so that was the morning everybody started panicking because there was nobody ostensibly that could give them the live feedback. So they expected me. And I said, well, I've only been on the software exactly as long as you all have. So I don't necessarily have a whole lot of insight, but we're paying them a tremendous amount of money, and there's this little green icon with a telephone that if you push in the software, they'll call you within 5 minutes. So we pay a lot of money for that. You should utilize that a whole lot because we're paying for it. Even if you're not using it, we're paying for it. So use it, especially this. I mean, this is the perfect excuse. This week has been a little bit better. We're having some interesting issues with hardware, but I've been working through that. And then a couple of the installers at one of the locations didn't do anything they were supposed to the way they were supposed to do it. And so one of my pharmacies is completely has a whole bunch of different things that should never have happened. And it caused all kinds of conflicts because they didn't use the right IP addresses for devices and they named devices wrong. And so it just became a big nightmare from our networking standpoint because the network people were like, didn't understand why things weren't where they were supposed to be. And so learning curve for me, but it's been like in the 90s and hundreds here. So I'm disliking this season right now. I'm ready for winter. It's going to be basically 90 for the next 10 days. High 80s. So, and it doesn't get below 60 at night. So it's just oppressive. So I'm staying indoors a lot, which is fine because I don't want to be around people anyway right now. Otherwise, just kind of, I'm just ready for a day off tomorrow. So I got a 3-day weekend. I finished my Marvel Legos game, so I don't know what I'm going to do. I'll go back to Subnautica or No Man's Sky probably.
Did you already get the Iron Man VR game?
Is there an Iron Man VR game?
Just released last week.
Oh, what platform though?
I think it's a PlayStation platform.
Yeah,
do you have an Xbox? Okay. We'll check it out. Maybe it's available on Xbox too.
I don't have a VR.
Oh, maybe it's a PC. I don't know.
My headset's for the PC. So I'll look if it's on Steam. Look. Yeah.
I mean, who knows whether it's a good game or not, but it's.
Have either of you used a VR headset yet?
No.
Nope. Oh, man. Yeah. It's amazing. I changed the house water filter the other day, which is horrific. I saw that
picture.
Just horrific. Oh yeah, Drew, you wouldn't have seen the picture. I'll send you the picture. It really is horrific. I'm so glad we have the whole house water filter, but then
yeah,
as I was thinking the other night, as long as we've had it installed, which hasn't been that many years, but I'm not usually the one who replaced it. It was usually Derek and his monkey paws who would tamp that thing down with a giant weird plastic wrench. And I was thinking, I'm not sure how tight I get that thing. And then I realized that would just completely flood my basement if it were to break open.
Yeah.
So I've been looking into an automatic shutoff device for the house. So I
That's found ASD. One. That,
what's that?
That's your typical ASD.
I don't know what that means.
The automatic shutoff device.
Well, I found one that's mechanical that requires no. It's all included. It doesn't require any extra tools or anything. You just basically clamp it over the valve, and it hooks into the valve feet. And so, because I have a lever valve, I don't have a ball valve. And so you put a sensor on the floor, you put a sensor somewhere else, and if it senses moisture, it just turns the valve off for the whole house. So I was looking at that.
Sweet.
So I don't know. And I told boyfriend Jesse, because it's expensive. It was rather expensive. But I said it's probably about what our deductible would be. So probably worth it, you know, in the long run to kind of save us. Yeah. If it were to ever flood, knock on wood, although I've been here 20 years, so who knows? But
what kind of filter is it? Is it like a string filter?
It's a 5-micron spooled poly something with charcoal.
Okay. Yep.
I also told Jesse, because we were talking about there's a whole bunch of different shutoff valve kits out there, but I don't want to have to cut pipes and I don't want to have to do any of that business. So this is just something that you can clamp over everything. And then if we move, we'll just unclamp it and take it with us. So that's the beauty of it, is it'll work wherever we can go. So,
oh, that's fun. Maybe fun's not the right word, but yeah, it's cool. And then, Drew, do you have any housekeeping on your end?
No, it's a pretty quiet week in my neck of the woods.
good.
So take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
Take a listen if you got a second to bear. If you like, subscribe, you can even share. Films on films, discuss on air. It's a brother podcast, we're gonna leave it right here.
One podcast talk show. Hit the app if you wanna catch an episode. They talk movies, they go off on a tangent flow and maybe ramble. That's a brother Sanderson. So sit back with closed eyes, let them take you away. Unless you're driving, keep them open in that case. We got Eric, Drew, and Brother Jay. Welcome you to Not in a Creepy Way.
Hey. Not in a creepy way. 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 Okay. Not in a creepy way. Not in a creepy way. We got Eric.